You're listening to Unpaused, a podcast for women who want to stage a career comeback or mastermind a new one after an extended break from work. I'm your host, Judy Stewart, and if you want to reclaim your career but don't know how, then this is the podcast for you. Let's meet our guest for today. Today I welcome two guests from their homes in the United States with some practical advice on enlarging your web of connections from your desk at home. Molly Beck, marketing expert, is the founder of the Messy FM podcasting platform and author of Reach Out, a book about how to dramatically expand your network and influence using tools you already have and the people you already know. And Carly Valancy, a professional actor and performing artist from New York, who lived Molly's methodology for a year and now collaborates with Molly, teaching the framework to others through virtual courses and live tutorials. I've brought Molly and Carly together because I think this conversation about going beyond a world that feels like it's shrinking and using email to enlarge it for the benefit of your career is for right this minute. And let me flag that there's an offer from Molly and Carly at the end of the interview, which might be of interest. Molly, if I can begin with you.
I think that it's important to be excited about what you're doing and to have some background knowledge. And that's maybe 20% of the equation. The other 80% is who you know. And one of the ways that I always say it is opportunities are islands and you can swim from opportunity to opportunity on your own, or you can have some people in your network that act as bridges and help you get there faster.
Oh, Molly, that's an excellent way of putting it. How exactly did you identify this great new system that you've developed to connect people or connect these islands to islands?
I was living in New York City and I was feeling very stuck in my life. I had been at the same job for a couple of years. I couldn't decide whether or not to go to grad school. I felt like my circle of friends post-college wasn't really getting much bigger. And I was feeling very sad and very stuck. And that was the mood that I was in when I went to a bar one night for my friend's birthday. And I ended up in conversation with someone that I had never met before, and I've never met him again. But he worked in finance, and he was telling me about his life in the small talky way that one does. But as he was talking to me, everything he was saying was like catnip to me. He was talking about his boss inviting him in for a special project. He was talking about some sort of side hustle that he was starting. And he had just gotten back from some sort of conference where he was name dropping people that I had never heard of, but he clearly thought were important. And all of those things were what I wanted. I wanted a job where people thought I was special and good at it. I wanted a side hustler. I wanted to be making quote unquote real money. As I was talking to him, and he's a very nice person, I'm sure, but I just was struck by the idea that he wasn't necessarily smarter than me, but he knew people that were helping him with these opportunities. And so I sort of chewed on that and I thought, what sort of tools do I have access to? And I decided, well, if the only way to get ahead is to know more people, then I have to know more people. So I decided to start emailing people every morning at 9:15 at my desk. The reason I chose email is because I could do it while I was sitting at a desk for another job. Email is relatively easy to get someone's email address, and it was kind of discreet if they didn't reply. So I started reaching out at 9:15 in the morning 8 years ago, and I just have never stopped.
You had a job that involved cold calling, which must be everyone's most nightmarish job. Just tell me, how do you compare cold calling with the emailing reach outs that you did consistently every day for 8 years?
I don't think I've ever even made that connection. I feel like that one thing cold calling does is it teaches you that the first couple dials every day, it never goes away, are always a little bit nerve-wracking. But then you get into a rhythm and sometimes people don't want to talk to you or they're a little rude to you, or maybe you have a great conversation and you find the exact right person. It's always a gamble. But that's very similar to reach out in that I still send reach outs. I sent one this morning that I was nervous pressing send. And that's okay. That shows that I'm going beyond my normal network and trying something new. You know, if you send a reach out every day at the end of the month, you'll have sent X amount. At the end of the year, you'll have sent X amount. And you know what your response rate is or how to track that. I like things that are very quantifiable.
So your process is that on every weekday, you send this email out to someone, a different person every day, 5 days a week, and make a connection. How do you build in the comfort factor to that so that it doesn't feel so uncomfortable?
So to answer the fear, one of the ways that makes it more user-friendly is you start to just develop a bad memory. You do enough reach outs that you develop a bad memory for the ones you don't get a response to. And sometimes when I ask someone why they haven't started reaching out, most people have sent emails occasionally to a friend of a friend or someone they want to hire them, but it was a one-off thing, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. And you remember if you don't get a response to those emails. But if you are doing it 20 times a month, 240 times a year, you start to forget and only the cream rises to the top of your mind. So the way to get over the fear is to do it enough that you start forgetting the non-responses. The guardrails for the actual email is that each one follows a similar template. You're going to have a similar type of subject line, a similar greeting, a very short bio, a gift, an ask, and then you're out of there. We're not writing reports here. We're writing voicemails.
I heard you interviewed on a podcast a year or more ago, and it prompted me to buy your book. I wanted to know exactly how you did it. Before I move over to Carly, I just want to ask you to talk a little bit about the different kinds of networks that we actually all have, but that we don't always realize we have.
We're all in networks right now. Some of them are very closely held networks, what you would call a strong tie, your family, your close friends, people that know you well. And you likely have a few overlapping circles there, but for the most part, your mom knows your best friend has heard you talk about your acquaintance from your job. Everybody is sort of intertwined. It's when you go one level out to the weak ties that you start really seeing all of the different networks you're a part of, whether that's parents that have kids on the same soccer team as your kids, whether that's your college professors that you haven't spoken to in 10 years, whether that's an extracurricular or a group you did, friends from high school you haven't chatted to in a while, of course, friends of friends, anyone you know now that knows other people. We're all part of so many networks. And one of the things that Reach Out forces you to do, or sending an email every day, is to be strategic about who do you know that can help you already. And sometimes when people think about reaching out, they think about reaching out to total strangers. That's a really hard thing to do. I really advise people to not do more than 20%, so not more than 1 a week out of 5, to a total stranger. You know, a cold email is going to have a lower response rate. It will be harder to find an email address for the person. I feel like an easy way to start, and this is the first reach out I always tell people to do, is who is someone from high school that you're probably still friends with on Facebook that's doing cool things, aka they work at a company that you want to work at, they have a side hustle that's very interesting, you see that they're always writing for publications you want to write for. Think of the person on your Facebook feed that you knew well, they would recognize your name, and that you want to learn more about what their life has been like since you graduated 12th grade homeroom, and that's a perfect first reach out.
And Molly, I just want to dwell for a moment on the gift aspect of your methodology. You give something before you ask them for something in return.
Yeah, let's just break down the parts of the email. So every email has a subject line. In the subject line, you're going to want to be very specific. You're not going to use something like reaching out or saying hi. You're going to use something that would catch their eye. So you'll either use the name of a person that you have in common, like Judith Stewart's friend, or you'll name drop something really specific you have in common. So after the subject line, you'll go into the greeting in the email, something short and sweet. This is not the time to use the word howdy unless you're a cowboy. Hi, you'll use the most formal version of their name that they talk about online. If they're a doctor, then you'll use that. If they're a professor, you'll use that. Then you'll do a one sentence bio, and you don't need to put everything in this one sentence bio that you've ever done in your whole life. You're going to target the bio to what you want them to know about you. So if you've worked in finance for the last 10 years, but you want to transition into marketing, you're going to say, hi, I'm Molly Beck, and I'm an aspiring marketer that just graduated from Digital Marketing 101 in an online program. Then you'll go into the gift. So the gift is what you are giving the other person. There are five types of gifts. The book breaks them down. But basically, you want to think, what's something that you could do that would be a joy in this other person's inbox? What's a really specific compliment you could give them? What's an article or podcast you listen to that you know that they would love to? What's a conference that you could get them into for free because of your connections that you know they would want to attend? So what's a gift that you can give this other person? And then if you have an ask, that's where you do your ask. You want your ask to be really specific. You're not going to say, how do I start a business or how do I become a writer? It should be a really specific ask that only they can answer and that you can't find the answer to on Google. And then you'll close. Probably about half the emails I send every day don't have an ask. What you would do is if you think of an ask or you come up with an ask a few months later, reply back to the original thread so that they know that you've been following them and complimenting their work for a while. And that's when you can do an ask.
You've been doing this for a long time now. What's your overall experience?
Well, so I used to be really diligent about tracking, and there's really specific numbers in the book on what are response rates you can expect for the four different types of ROs, which we break out. But I would say in general right now, at the place I'm at right now, the types of reach outs I'm doing, I would say I'm getting a 60 to a 70% response rate on an average reach out email. Slightly more than half of mine get responses. When I get to a place where maybe I'm more well known in the field I'm reaching out for, that number will inch up. If I move into a space where people don't know or maybe aren't as excited about me yet, that number will inch down. But that's where I am right now.
And Molly, do you think that this speaks to something in human nature that we really don't understand? That people are more generous than you think?
I think it speaks to the fact that something that is curious to me is that probably thousands and thousands of people will listen to this podcast and a very small percentage of people will reach out for the next 5 days. Just 5 days, not even for a streak or anything. But the ones that do follow this advice will have experiences that they wouldn't have imagined otherwise. So what we're talking about is not hard. Everyone has an email address. Everyone has the ability to craft a short email. Everyone has the ability to press send, but so few people will do it. And it's the ones that will do it that will have the experiences that will make it worthwhile.
Molly, I love this. But if I could turn to you, Carly, I'm completely fascinated by what you've done in that you have a performing arts background, which is, I think, distinguished by the fact that because it's audition-based and extremely competitive, it means that every time you take a career step, every time you go for a part, you're basically having to reinvent your career. So this is a very difficult environment where there's a lot of talent out there and you've got to make yourself conspicuous. How did Molly's methodology help you?
Being a part of the creative artistic community means that I am constantly a stranger. So I am walking into audition rooms and having to introduce myself sometimes multiple times a day, and it can be very difficult. There's a lot of rejection that is involved. And while it is a pretty small community, it can feel really, really spread out. And the acting community as it was pre-COVID-19, there was a lot of gatekeepers. So we're talking about casting and agents and the amount of things that an artist needs to do to just get in the room, to just have a chance, is absolutely shocking. So that when you finally do get in the room, there's so much pressure. When I picked up Molly's book, I was sort of in the same place that she was, in a very different place, but in a similar headspace. I felt really stuck, like I was constantly having the door shut on me. I felt I hadn't been given a chance, and the things that I knew about myself and friends of mine too, that I was a smart, creative, driven person who had all of the recipes for success, but just could not catch a break. Mm. And I was tired of waiting for someone to give me an opportunity. And when I read Molly's book, the author's note is probably my favorite part of the book. It spoke to me directly. And, you know, in her story, she says, this book is for the doers. It is for the scrappy, the hustlers. And I thought, this is something I don't have to wait for anyone. I can do this on my own. And when I heard about the quantifiable nature about it, I'm similar to you, Molly. I love the idea that you can track it. And if you commit to doing it, then you will have results. Whether or not people respond, whether or not anything happens, you will have sent the email if you commit to it. And that is something I really desperately needed at that time in my life when I had very little control over my career and over my community, who was coming into it, who was going out of it. And so that was my big decision to begin the year-long journey.
So you began that. And can I just ask you, Carly, was there one email in particular that you sent that enabled you to crack through? Was there some instance where you can recount that we really had success with this?
Well, I actually wrote my first email to Molly and I told her how much I loved her book. She responded within a couple hours. And then I asked her for some book recommendations and she gave me probably 15 books that I could be reading. Mm-hmm. And I was immediately encouraged. I found that the more I started reaching out to people within my community and sharing gifts and gratitude with them, the more encouraged I felt to keep going.
Yeah. And not only did you do that though, Carly, it began this great collaboration between you and Molly. Can you just talk about what that collaboration looks like?
So as an artist, I've sort of noticed that the things that I really wanted to get out of reaching out and the things that my community members have also really been craving is the idea of collaboration. So artists, creatives are obsessed with this word, collaboration. It's the idea that one person with one idea and one person with another idea comes together and creates something new. And this is essentially what the entire world of theater is built on, is just constant collaboration, continuous, surprising, generous, and generative collaboration. So that was sort of my mission when I started, because when we both started this practice, Molly and I were in two different places in our careers, two different worlds. So my mission was to seek collaboration, and finding it with Molly was, I mean, the most surprising thing and amazing thing that has come out of it.
And so the collaboration, Molly, from your perspective is?
The collaboration is that Carly is our lead coach. She runs our parties and our workshops and our courses where people from other fields can come and learn the principles of reaching out. And then the key to the entire operation is that it's a daily 20-minute Zoom party. Everybody hops on. The group usually starts with a little bit of inspiration from Carly, and then the Zoom goes quiet and we all write our reach outs for the day. And it's a way to have accountability and be supported. And sometimes people will pop in with questions or say, hey, this is the response I got, or what's a good subject line? And Carly can give them some real time support. We're consistently getting 50, 60, 70 people every day. I had always had sort of like a secret dream that Reach Out would have another life beyond just the books and the articles. And Carly was the answer to that. And she runs the courses better than I ever could have. She is amazing at taking the principles and applying them to any situation. And I feel meeting Carly was such a surprise and such an answer to questions I was struggling with around the reach out idea and how to grow. So I hope that's, if anyone's thinking, you know, I really admire this person or I've read their work and I like it, but I don't want to be a quote unquote bother if I reach out, you could be someone's Carly and really be the exact person that they are looking for in their life right now.
What intrigued me was the yin and the yang. You know, Molly, the financial analyst who's written a book on a framework for reaching out, and then Carly with her performing arts background, which very much equips her to relay content to an audience in a creative and compelling way. Carly, is there something that you think you particularly bring to that process of building confidence, for instance, in the classroom that you're speaking to?
So Molly talks about the bridge, right? So the community, the network you seek is sort of at the edge of your current network, and reaching out is a way to build those bridges. But my whole idea is that everybody is reaching out for a different purpose. So Molly was reaching out for a very specific purpose in furthering her network and her career. And when I started to reach out, I was doing it for collaboration so that I could create something new. So I think what I add is the opportunity for everyone to find their purpose and use reaching out as a tool to get them there.
Would you say that the habit that this methodology tries to create in a person reaching out, how critical is that to their whole methodology, the habit-making part of the reaching out?
The answer is the habit. It's not enough to do a handful of reach outs a year. Some of those might hit and you might get something interesting happening from them, but the consistency is what pushes your network and community and goals larger. It's all about the consistency. And I think about it a lot because I'm someone that struggles with motivation. And I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of things that I want to do. But the way that I build success into my life is I make everything a habit. Whether that's I reach out every morning at 9:15 or I work out every day at 6 p.m. We're recording this at 7. I mean, my workout clothes at the bottom, because even though it's annoying to record a podcast when you're sweaty, I don't break those habits. So if you're looking for a way to change your life, develop some strong habits, whether they're around networking or drinking water or going to bed on time, it's all in the habits.
Well, I'm a great believer in that too. We're obviously in a very different time now, but I think that there's a parallel in that your career sort of stalled with the financial crisis in 2008, that first career as a financial analyst. And there are a lot of people who are going to feel that their career has well and truly stalled during this lockdown. Is there anything that you would be doing now that you would suggest that might even be different for or more intense than what you were doing 10 or 12 years ago?
There is something. I don't know if this is the answer that you're looking for, but so in 2008, 2009, when the financial world fell apart and I realized that all my fancy experience and fancy degrees were no one was going to hire me, it gave me space to start a blog. And starting the blog changed my whole professional career. It led me into a whole new career in writing and a literary agent and eventually a book deal and roles at some really interesting media companies.
And Carly, from your perspective, what do you think is the big thing that women who are in lockdown, they've got some extra time, the job market's looking shaky, what would you suggest they spend dedicated time on?
Absolutely. I think now is the perfect time to start paying attention to connecting the dots. So this is something I talk a lot about in my own work with Reach Out, but it's the idea that how are these two things alike? So right now, people might be feeling, I have these skills, but now they're not really viable anymore for the new market, for the new economy, for the new world as we know it. What do we do with these things that we've been working on, these skills that we've been cultivating and nurturing for years and years that all of a sudden seems like a complete loss? So in connecting the dots, how can we pivot and find where our skills are transferable? So for example, in my own life, when everything sort of came crashing down early in March, a lot of my industry, I mean, Broadway is dark now for the first time ever, which can be horrifying. And it is an incredibly difficult constraint for a lot of performers out there. But on the other hand, where can we find possibility within our constraints? So this constraint has allowed Molly and I to build something for people all over the world. And it is the reason why we are talking to you, which is incredible. And so the idea that we have skills that are transferable is the first thing to become aware of. And then once you start paying attention to where your skills can fit into different ideas, different markets, that's when opportunity can start opening up.
Carly, you've got a course coming up on the 17th of May. What's the best place to find it?
Yes. So you can go to www.valence.com and register there.
Oh, great. And what about you, Molly? Where do we find you and your book?
You could go to my website. You could go, which is mollybeck.co. You could find me on social media, MS Molly Beck, on all platforms. I'm always available if someone has a question about the book or podcasting, or they want to reach out to me. My email is molly@messy.fm.
There was a lot to learn in that interview, and I can't recommend Molly's book and Carly's online course highly enough. But for me, there were three things that really stood out. First, it's the doers who reap the rewards. As Molly said so well, only a small percentage of people will reach out, but the ones who do reach out will have experiences they won't have otherwise. Everyone has the physical tools to do this. You don't have to wait for anyone to give you permission. Secondly, I return to the subject of habits. In this case, Molly emphasises that a handful of emails is not enough. It will be the consistent program of activity, which ideally is tracked and monitored, that will push your network and with it your goals ever further. Molly changed her life by developing strong habits. Finally, and this was one of Carly's parting points, there has never been a better time to pay attention to how your skills can be transferred to find new possibilities in overcoming the constraints of the new world. Her collaboration with Molly is a good case in point. Whereas they were coming from it from completely different angles, Molly wanted to grow her reach out model and Carly was looking for creative collaborations. They met and found in each other the ideal partner to meet their respective goals. And now for that offer. Carly's dedicated Australian Reach Out course launches at 9 a.m. on Monday the 18th of May with a 90-minute workshop, and then continues daily every morning at 9:27 a.m. for 27 minutes over 27 days. The first 12 unpauses to register will receive a 30% discount. To register, please visit valenceandco.com/downunder and type unpaused into the Who Referred You field. The girls have also discounted Carly's one-on-one coaching session to half price for unpauses to be used as a standalone or in conjunction with the course. The links will all be in our show notes on the website, unpaused.net, and also in our Instagram bio. Thanks to Leonie Marsh, Claudia Cameron and Jason Milhouse for helping to pull this episode together so quickly. I think it's so important right now to be working on positive ways to prepare for a return to work. If you know someone who you think will enjoy this and other episodes of Unpaused, please share the podcast via our website or wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, farewell.